Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me to. That, whew, such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. That's our God, a healer that makes all things new. Thank you, God, today for his word, for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, and for his kindness. I'm just so filled up. I have been at a retreat over this past weekend. Shout out to Sisters United in Christ for a awesome and fantastic conference. And, you know, just shout out to Pastor Barnes, who is the First Lady of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church of Chicago, Illinois. First Lady showed out, showed up, and just did it for everybody. And all I can say is, on Friday night, she came with a COVID message. And for those out there who have had COVID, and are still here, the word for you is this: millions didn't make it, but you were one of the ones that did. And all I can say is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. If you made it, you are one of the ones that did. Because God has a purpose for your life. You are here for a reason. You are here for a reason. Thank God every day that you are one of the ones that made it. And the word for this morning is, glory to God in the highest. We give the Lord praise this morning. We give the Lord praise this morning. Glory to God in the highest. For everything was created. Why? Because he loves us like that. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, hallelujah, lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that nothing is bigger, better, or more awesome than you, Lord. Father God, I lift my hand up, thanking you, Lord God, for all things good, all things perfect, all things come from you, Father God. Why? Because we are called according to your purpose, Lord. Not our own, but yours. Not our will, but yours. And we can only say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for caring about us when we're down, for helping us to be better, God. Father God, I pray for the Beasley family and Carson family that have lost a loved one. Lord, I pray for all those who are bereaved today and ask you, Father, to lift them up, to give them strength, to give them a push through spirit, to know that their loved one is absent from this earthly body, but in your presence. Lord God, I thank you with all my heart for your grace, mercy, goodness, and love. And so, Father, I lift this word up and place it in your loving hands, asking you, Lord God, to eat as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. For you are my sword. You are my shield. You are my wheel in the middle of the wheel. You are my hope in the future. You are, oh, hallelujah, the sun, the moon, and the stars, but you placed them all in the sky, Lord God. You place each and every one in its proper place, as you have placed me in this place. And again, Father, increase as I decrease. Ooh, hallelujah. Be my strength, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Honor to God. Honor to all you. Thank you for listening. Giving honor to God for hope in the future. Hallelujah. Giving God his praise. But there is no praise like godly praise. There's no praise like the praise that belongs directly to God. Hallelujah. 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 I am like excited. You can tell I'm kind of hoarse this morning because I sung in the conference choir. And I tell you this, whoo, praises went up this weekend. Praises went up this weekend. The title of the conference was Created to Worship. And we worship God in spirit and in truth over this weekend. So thanking God again for the Sisters United in Christ and their wonderful conference. I thank my pastor, who was my roommate, and I just had a great time, she and I, in the Lord, in his word, and just rededicating ourselves to God. So I feel refreshed. I feel renewed. I feel better because I know, whoo, hallelujah, that I am a child of God, and he has given me everything that I need. Hallelujah. Say it with me, y'all. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty name of Jesus this morning. Whoo, hallelujah. I'm just filled up. I can't stop saying the highest praise of hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. I'm thankful. I'm grateful and I'm blessed to be a child of God. But he has given me another opportunity to be with you because millions didn't make it. But I'm one of the ones that did. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Hallelujah, still being given another opportunity to be better today than I was yesterday. Hallelujah. So please join me in your word this morning. We are coming out of our Psalm 37 Psalm, starting at verse 18. We are in the 12th Proverbs 12, verses 12 through 14. Actually, verses 12 through 19. And we'll be starting in Luke chapter 2. So let's get started in our word. Again, if there's anyone who is interested in being a guest reader of the Word of God, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And I will open your line again, 213-943-3597. Guest Bible readers are welcome. If there's any ministers or pastors out there that would like to read and have a word from God, again, the number one on your phones and the number to dial is 213-943-3597. Thank you so much. And let's get a move on. And the word of God says in the 37th Psalm, starting at verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metal, shall vanish. Into the smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Proverbs chapter 12. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me finish my psalm, y'all. I got a little carried away there. Good men are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So y'all put that highlighter out. Pull your highlighters out. That's a highlightable. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So y'all shout with me this morning. That is a highlightable, shoutable word right there. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to dance up in here this morning. And I'm going to read that word again because it just hits my heart. The steps of a good man, and I'm going to add a good woman, and I'm not adding to the word. I'm just saying man is a, pull it all together. It's meaning humankind. So I want to make sure everybody says it's not just about men. It's about humankind. So when the steps of a good human are ordered by the Lord, so a steps of a good man, meaning all of us, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He delights in our way. Though he fall, and you can say, though I might fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. I will not be utterly cast down. You got to make this word personal. For the Lord, my God, upholds me with his hand. Whew. So we're going to make it personal. One more time. My steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in my way. Though I might fall short, or though I may fall, he does not cast me utterly down. But my daddy God upholds me with his hand. Oh, can y'all say thank you, Jesus? I have been young and now I'm old. Can y'all say it with me? Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants are not his seed begging bread. But he is ever merciful and lives, and his descendants are blessed. I got to read that again. I have been young, and I'm going to say it now with all this gray hair. And now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ooh, he is ever merciful and lives, and his descendants are his seed, are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked, or the seed of the wicked, shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Hallelujah. I'm just telling y'all now, get out of this girl's way so she can dance this morning. And it says this as we continue in verse 30 of the 37th Psalm. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, highlightable, and his tongue talks of justice. Because we're going to say it again. We know that what is in the power of this world, membrane, the power of death and life is in his tongue. You can put a curse on someone. We got to start speaking life. We got to remove curses off of people. Because we wonder why this person doing the same thing. Because somebody done put a curse on them. Somebody done spoke something against them. Well, they this and they that and they not of this and they not of that. We got to stop it. Keep your tongue behind your teeth and speak life, not death, over anyone. Because there's power in this little membrane. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. and you understand when I say that they can slay you with a tongue, slay you with what they say about you, slay you with everything, calling you everything but a child of God. But the word of God tells you, the Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I saw him, but he could not be found. Whew, the Lord don't play. And as we continue in Proverbs, go with me to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to start at verse number 12. Life lessons, life questions will all be done at the end of the show this morning. Put it in my heart just to read first, and then we'll go back over those things. And it tells us in Proverbs, we just talked about it in Psalms, the wicked covers the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. You're reaping and sowing here. You're reaping and you're sowing. And it tells us again, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. We can see the wrath and the craziness of one or two people in life that can mess stuff up for everybody, can mess planets, can mess stuff up for this whole world that we live in. Folks killing each other over nothing. You got $2 in your pocket and somebody willing to kill you for $2. You think that through how people have lost their mind. But I say this, we're going to speak light. We're going to speak love. We're going to speak faith. We're going to say, Lord, the enemy cannot have this world. He cannot have it. We are children of God. We are speaking life. We speak in life over Ukraine. We speak in life over Russia. We speak in authority to have common sense. We ask the angels to come in and pour in to those that are speaking evil. We speak peace. We speak love. We speak joy, long suffering. We speak the fruit of the Spirit. We speak faith. We speak kindness. We got to start speaking life over this planet, that spring will come and new grass will grow. Summer will come. Fall will come. Winter will come. And they will be in their own season. Hallelujah. We got to start speaking life over this planet because this tongue has power. And we're going to say it one more time. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who counsels is wise. Are you eating counsel today? Are you listening to what thus says the Lord today? And it says a fool's wrath is known at once. All we got to know is Putin's war. But a fool man covers shame. Come on now. And our last proverb word is this, starting at verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Can I say that again? He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. What did God's word tell us in his commandments? Thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, thou shalt not be a liar. And as we continue, since there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Come on now. I speak healing over my lungs. I speak healing over my throat. I speak healing over my esophagus. I speak healing over my vocal cords. I speak healing over my life, over myself. Hallelujah. I speak healing in the name of Jesus, and I believe it because I speak it, and I have power in my tongue. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Remember that. A lying tongue. He said, she said, woo-woo said. Woo-woo better. God, don't play with woo-woo. God tells you like it is, and like it is, it's how it is. We got to know that our daddy God does not play, because he is a good God. That's who we is. And we are loved by him. That's who we are. And when we take that to the bank, everything falls into place. And we got to understand, it's not about money. It's not about stuff. As the kids say, it's not about titles. It's not about fame. You don't have to know my name. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. My kids sang that song, and they tear it up. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. I think it's West Angeles Choir that sings that song. And I tell you, they tear it up. And as we continue the word of God in Luke chapter 2, and it said, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to the register, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I want to say that one more time. Firstborn son, which meant Mary had other children. Don't get that nonsense twisted. There are those out there that said, no, Mary didn't have any other child but Jesus. She and Joseph never had relations. They never had any other children. She was a virgin birth, and she stayed a woman that never was touched by a man. Lie. Don't believe that lie. That is not biblical. That is not true. That is a lie. Mary was a wife and a mother to Joseph. She was his wife, and she was the mother of his children. The word of God said it. The word of God says, isn't that Joseph, the carpenter's son? And are those his brothers over there, James, John, Simon, Joseph? Jose? Are those his kids, his brothers? And are those his sisters over there? So, yes, there were other children. So don't get that lie twisted. Because that's what it is. It's a lie. Because the word of God says, brought forth her firstborn. In other words, God's word says she's going to have other children. And it goes on to say, now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Oh, hallelujah. That's our word for this morning. That's a shouting word, y'all. I'm shouting. If you can't see it, I'm just telling you now. I'm having me a moment with the Lord. Ah, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with us and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the thing which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard him marveled, and those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the Christ, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Yes, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Woo, can y'all catch that right? If you are firstborn, you are holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in that law of the land, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Oh, mom and dad came to sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And as we continue in our book of Luke, chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in Jesus, to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. But my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. By the way. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is the same for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna. I love this Anna. Anna. Whew. My mother-in-law was an Anna. And she was an Anna in spirit, too, as well as in name. And we just called her Anna, but Anna Lean was her name. And I'm grateful for an awesome mother like her. And it says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, come on now, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming in that into the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna was a powerhouse. Y'all can say it with me. Anna was a powerhouse and loved God, waited on God, and knew that God would deliver everything he said he would do, he would do. And so when they had performed all things according to the law of the land of the Lord, excuse me. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth, and the children grew and became strong in spirit, filled with his wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished their days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and saw them among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking him questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know? I'm sure he was a little boy, but that's it. I'm sorry, he's probably one of them little kids you want to snatch at because he got a mouth. And you're like, excuse me? And he's looking at you crazy, and you looking at him crazy as he's telling you. Like, what you mean, why was I looking for you? What do you say? And he said to them, why did you seek me? Why did you seek me? Because you my son, and I was worried. I didn't know where you was. You left the group. When I told you to stay with relatives, you decided to go and be disobedient, and I was looking for you. That's why I'm here. You know, you want to have that moment with them. But understand, Mary was understanding who her son was. Even though she knew who he was, she knew his destiny. She knew he was God's child and that he would do different things that might that had to be done. And that's what he did. And what did he tell him again? Ask his mama and his daddy. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. But understand, he became a rabbi. So he was in carpenter's son, but he was also a rabbi. He knew himself. He knew his daddy. I must be about my father's business. And you like, wait a minute, little boy, you're 12 years old. You need to sit down somewhere. But his mama knew. His daddy knew. Our son is special. We know he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But yet, he had Joseph's DNA too. Hallelujah. Because he was divine. He was divine and knowing, assimilated into the family of David. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, thank you. And as we continue, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea. Now, we know who Pilate is. Pilate's going to do some hand washing up in here because his wife tossing stuff. And she's like, don't get your hands involved with that. That is not about us. That is not about us. It is not about us. You know, come on now. So let's keep it moving. And it goes on to say, being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Taranticus, Tis, and Lucidia, tetrarch of Abilene, while Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And we know that's John the Baptist. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all the flesh salvation of God. Oh, hallelujah. Then said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham and our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teach, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or choose foster, and be content. And be content with your wages. In other words, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Be content with what the Lord gives you. God will give you a raise in his time. God will do it. I say this again. Whatever you need, God will provide. I can only tell you about myself. All I know is that God has provided for me. He has provided for me in my time of trouble. He has been there for me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasons in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. His Manon fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added to above all that he shut down up in prison. Now we know what's going to happen in this story, and it's tragic. But we know that John, just like his Savior, Jesus, whom he baptized, John can say, I baptized the Savior, Jesus. Baptized by John, his cousin. John didn't play. John was a man of God who spoke the truth to power. Now he knew that Herod was crazy and an adulterer, having an adulterous relationship with his sister-in-law. But John was not afraid. He told the truth. And he was a pain in Herod's side. But let's go back to our word. And that way we get it directly from the word of God. And Herod put John in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. Let's give glory to God. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthias, the son of Levi, the son of Meliath, the son of Joanna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mathaniah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Ezra, the son of Nigai, the son of Meg, the son of Mathaniah, the son of Shammai, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, Joanna, the son of Jairus, the son of Jerubel, the son of Shetar, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kasam, the son of El-Modam, the son of Ur, the son of Ozay, the son of Eliza, the son of Jerim, the son of Matthias, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Benjamin, the son of Elkim, the son of Melech, the son of Menon, on the Methaniah, the son of Nathan, the son of David. Whew. The son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Seraph, the son of Ruth, the son of Pig, the Luke, the son of Eber, the son of Shiah, the son of Cain, the son of Ephazad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jerry, the son of Methaniah, the son of Canaan, the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Can you say lineage? Can you say lineage? Hallelujah. broke it all down all the way back to Adam, who Jesus belonged to. Do you know who your daddy is? What's your DNA? Hallelujah. Woo, what a word this morning. I'm all filled up. Yes, I am. It is glory to God in the highest this morning. And let's get in a few life lessons and some questions. And this is a question that comes from our psalm. This is actually a life lesson from our psalm this morning. And it's from Psalm 37, God's schedule. It says what the Bible says about God's schedule. Do you feel as if things are not going the way you planned? As if God is on a completely different schedule than you are? Well, he probably is. Remember that God's master plan is to develop a loving, personal relationship with you. Though life will often bring you pain, suffering, and development you would not choose, you can always be confident that God finds a way to use everything for your good. God is developing you into a mature believer, and that includes showing you how to wait patiently for him. So why should you trust God's timing? Here are some excellent reasons, and these are from Dr. Charles Stanley. And they are this. Number one, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-knowing. Number two, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-wise. Number three, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-loving. So again, number one, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-knowing. God is aware of every detail of your life, past, present, or future. And I like to say your good, your bad, and your downright ugly. God is in charge and knows every detail. He's also aware of what you would need for challenges ahead. God's knowledge is complete. Therefore, since God is aware of things that you have no way of knowing and is providing for things you don't even realize you need, you should trust his timing. God's schedule is best for you because he is all wise. It is foolish to think that anyone knows the absolute best thing to do in every situation because everyone makes mistakes. Of course, you probably already realize that you make your decisions based upon an imperfect perception of the future. God's wisdom, on the other hand, is infinite and perfect. Though your heart can lie to you, you never will. He never will. The Father will take his time teaching you all that you need to know through his Holy Spirit who lives within you. Oh. Number three, again, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-loving. The most important reason, I said that again, the most important reason to live by God's schedule is the simple fact that he loves you and wants what is built around wonderful things, about a wonderful future of godly maturity and fellowship with him. Time is simply one of the tools he uses to teach you, train you, and mold you. His love reaches to the teeniest details of your life, uses every experience for your best and absolutely unconditional. The reward of learning to live by God's timing are infinite. You have a new peace and assurance because you no longer try to make time serve your own ends. You have renewed strength so that you can run and not be weary and walk without faith. Isaiah 40:28-31, those that wait on the Lord. And you learn to trust him more because you see God redeeming your time and working through you powerfully. Therefore, realize that you are not sufficient within yourself, that you must live by God's timing because you know that you won't work. Trust God completely. knowing you're in his care, and be patient no matter what happens. And finally, have the courage and self-discipline to wait upon God. Isaiah 64:4 tells us, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, not perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you. Who asks for the one who waits for him. Are you living on God's timetable or your own? Always remember that the wisest thing you can do is wait upon God. And I say, and give God the highest praise. Glory to God in the highest. We got to trust our dad and know that he always has our best interest at heart. And as we go back over some other lessons this morning, when we go over to Luke chapter 2, verses 1, and it says, what are the characteristics of a godly man? It says, until he became engaged to Mary, Joseph's life probably resembled that of most other men. In his hometown, no doubt, he had business concerns and goals for the future, but nothing seriously interrupted his daily routine until Mary informed him she was pregnant. Then he revealed his godly traits. While the news must have shocked him, he clearly felt troubled for her and her reputation. God saw the confusion building inside of Joseph and sent an angel to tell him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:20-21. It says, from this point on, Joseph never doubted God's will in choosing him to watch over Mary and her son. He remained faithful not only to his wife, he showed courage by ignoring the ugly rumors swirling around town about Mary's pregnancy. He valued God's plan above what others might think of him. He remained sensitive to the Holy Spirit, demonstrated by his acceptance of God's guidance. After the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to him, warning him of impending danger. Joseph immediately took Mary and Jesus to Egypt, where they found safety until the threat passed. Joseph, a humble man, honored God by obeying his word. He remained consistent and content and could be counted on to follow God regardless of personal cost. Because you got to remember, he packed up and left his carpentry business, left his business to take care of this baby and his mama. Joseph, a humble man, honored God by obeying his word. He remained consistent and content and could be counted on to follow God regardless of his personal call. How can you grow in your faith to become a godly individual? Start by committing yourself to a consistent daily walk with Christ. When you come in and listen to the word of God, you are getting in your daily walk. This word is your exercise as you listen in and read with me. Attend a church where the word of God is proclaimed. I speak it every Sunday. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Whew. Attend church where the word of God is proclaimed as the standard of life. Make an open commitment to God and to your loved ones that you will not abandon your devotion to Christ or to them. Godly responsibility. When you stand up for what is right, a godly person is not easily swayed, but is filled with conviction, faith, and prayer. When Joseph had no one else to guide and comfort him, he turned to God and found the strength and love he needed to get through the most difficult of circumstances. Will you make Joseph's spiritual commitment your own today? Will you give it to God? Will you let God lead you? Will you let God guide you? Will you let God be the food that you need to grow, to be nourished? Let God be in your life today. as Simeon said, while in the arms of God. The years are catching up to me. Simeon must have thought as he made his way to the temple. How many years had it been since he had received the special word of the Lord? 5, 10. It didn't matter. Each day brought him closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. At that moment, a young couple emerged onto the temple porch with a newborn son. The child Simeon thought. He approached the young family, took the babe in his arms, and immediately knew this was the one for whom he had waited so long. God had kept his promise, posted at the crux of history. The old soldier foresaw that the greatest battle of all time would be faced, fought, and won by this teeny child. There he stood, reading the breath of Christ while in the arms of God. Simeon waited on the Lord. Are you waiting on the Lord today? Are you standing on his word today? Are you believing today that all things are going to work for your good? Because you are waiting on God. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, I love this word. As we go back into Luke chapter 2, and it says, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. From a very early age, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his Heavenly Father, a practice that made him spiritually mature far beyond his years. You can always tell when someone has nurtured a close relationship with God. You can tell it. They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Even as a boy, Jesus spoke of spiritual issues in ways that his hearers often did not understand. Serious Christ followers, however, strive to gain understanding, as did Mary and his disciples. And as we wrap up, I say wrap up, we have a prayer this morning for this 27th day. It says, surrendered mind. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:6. You are, and this is our prayer, you are the Lord over every one of my days. Today, as I set my mind on you, let my thoughts be filled with your life and peace. I offer you the screen of my mind. I surrender my thoughts to you, asking that your spirit will fill them with the fruit that only you give. When I walk into chaotic situations, may your perfect peace keep my mind steady. When I encounter others who are burdened by fear and shame, may the light of your love keep faith flame ablaze in me. What does it matter if I lay down my life for you but keep my thoughts as my own without submission to you? Lord, I know the best changes are those that happen from the inside out. I offer you my mind when my thoughts start jumping to things that are neither helpful nor beneficial. Redirect them. Help me to remember that your ways of life reach to every part. You can have it all, Lord. And the word for today, to reflect on this, how often do you notice of what your thoughts reflect? And before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then it is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Before we get out of here, a word, and the word for yesterday is this. I pray that the peace of God fills your home today, and that the calm presence and comfort of the Holy Spirit resides with you. And this is a word for this morning. God can do anything but fail. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday, family. And remember that our Daddy God is in charge of everything. Let us praise the Lord this morning. Glory to God in the highest today. But God is in charge of everything. Thank you so much, family. It is a wrap this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as always, give God your time. Give God your talent. Give God your time. Let God be in charge of your life. And watch everything else fall into place. Be blessed. It is a wrap. It's time to go to church, y'all. That's Sunday school. Love y'all. Bye-bye.